0 Feet Away by Seven Iris. A Sid Gino Hockey RPF fig. Read by Momotastic. Gino only lets Alex make him a Grindr profile that summer because Alex is still upset about Maria. Because Alex's grin has a kind of manic, brittle quality that makes Gino sigh and hand over his cell phone with only a token protest. Alex puts his name down as G. He adds a picture from one of Gino's fishing trips, one that he didn't post to Instagram because the angle is weird and most of his head is cut off, only the corner of a grin showing above his bare chest and some fat silver fish he doesn't remember the name of. Alex says he's athletic, loves animals and kids, is looking for Mr. Right as well as Mr. Right Now. It's weirdly sweet. Then Alex tries to pick out some guys for Gino to message, and Gino finally puts his foot down. Gino doesn't open the app up again after that. He likes the anonymity of picking up in a bar, likes how language differences can be smoothed over with a filthy grin and some grinding on a dance floor. Sometimes he wonders what Sid does, if he uses Grindr, if he picks up guys in bars, or if his French-Canadians matchmake for him. Whatever he does, he's utterly discreet. They're friends, there's no one he would rather play hockey with. He would fling himself in front of a charging bull for Sid, but they don't talk about shit like this. They haven't since Sid was still the kid and Gina could barely speak English, both of them too inarticulate to talk about any of the logistics, but shyly pleased that they were not alone in this. Gino mostly forgets about it until they go to Washington to play the Caps. He has dinner with Alex and his Russian rookies, and he lets Alex talk him into one last drink at his house. It starts with them sitting on Alex's couch, sipping good vodka from home, talking about hockey gossip and dogs, and then, somehow, Gino's love life. It ends up with Alex flipping through Grindr on Gino's phone, looking for guys he thinks Gino should message. Too young, Gino says when Alex shows him the profile of a grinning shirtless 19-year-old. Too old, he says to the grizzled beard of the next one Alex picks. Too boring, he says, even though the guy looks nice enough, silver-rimmed glasses and a blue button-down shirt. Alex rolls his eyes and keeps flicking through photos. Ah, he says. Perfect. He holds up the phone and Gino snorts. The guy hasn't included his face, just a shot of his chest down to the tops of his thighs. He's wearing gray boxer briefs, and the material clings to the outline of his... All right, fine. Pretty impressive cock. He's holding his t-shirt up with one hand, bearing the pale cut muscle of his abs and chest. But there's something about it that catches Gino's attention. Not just the fact that his body is exactly Gino's type, but the casual, easy confidence in the way he holds himself. Alex waggles his eyebrows at Gino. Too cocky, Gino says, even if that's not quite the right word. So picky, Alex says with an exaggerated sigh. Not everyone has YOLO standards, Sasha, he says without thinking, and then winces. But Alex just laughs and taps on another profile. Gino doesn't let Alex message anyone. Alex calls him a cab before it gets too late. When he checks his phone in the cab, Gino realizes he still has the Grindr app open. He hesitates on that one profile again. Sam, it says. 27. 5'11". 200 pounds. Athletic. Sports fan. History buff. Probably in your town for work. Gino admires the utter self-confidence in Sam's picture. He thinks Sam probably knows exactly what he wants and isn't afraid to go after it. Also, he's hot. On a whim, Gino messages him. Nice dick. Very handsome. Then he taps out and checks his Instagram feed while they sit in traffic. He's not really expecting a response, but after a few minutes, he's got a new message notification. Thanks, Sam says. Your chest isn't too bad either, smiley face. Gino blinks, then remembers the picture Alex chose. Thanks. So, how about those caps? Sam says. Gino makes a face at the phone. He doesn't want to talk about Alex and the caps. Sorry, don't watch hockey. Your loss, Sam says, with another smiley face. So, what are you into? Gino eyes the message for a minute. Football, fishing, usual stuff. Cool. You want to get a drink tonight? Gino turns his phone over, lays it face down against his thigh, and looks out the window. The cab inches forward. He takes a slow, careful breath. He thinks Sam does not want to just talk about football over a beer. It's different from picking up a guy in a bar. It feels so much more deliberate. Can't tonight, he says finally. Maybe just talk instead? What do you want to talk about? Sam asks.
Well, your cop.
Sam's response takes a minute, but it comes with a picture. Sam's wearing black boxer briefs this time, and he's gripping the line of his cock through the fabric. Gino's dick gives an answering twitch.
Nice. Prettier without clothes, yes?
Sam's naked in the next picture, gripping the base of his cock. He's not cut, the flushed head of his cock just peeking through the foreskin. Dark hair curls around his hand, trails away to nothing on his stomach. Heat washes over Gino's skin, and he shifts, spreading his thighs wider.
Are you going to show me yours? Sam asks. Can't. In cab now.
Really? Gino takes a picture of the back of the cab and sends it. The driver gives him a dubious glance in the rearview mirror, but says nothing.
So you want me to jerk off while you tell me what you want to do with my cock? And you try not to come in the back of a cab?
Gino swallows. He's getting hard now, and Sam's right, this was maybe not the best plan. But it's hot too, the idea that he can't touch himself, but Sam can do whatever he wants. And fuck it. They've got to be close to the hotel. He can take care of himself when he gets back to his room.
Yes, he says.
Okay, I'm into it. So what do you want to do with this? He sends another picture, this time with his fist squeezed up under the head of his cock, a drop of pre-cum beating up at the tip. Gino licks his lips.
Want to suck you.
Sam's cock is long and thick, and he can picture the weight of it on his tongue, the stretch of his lips around it.
Yeah. Can I fuck your mouth, or should I be gentle?
Gentle first, so I can go down whole way.
Shit, really? Sam asks.
It's been a while since Gino's done that, but he wants it now, wants to take his time, wants to be on his knees with nothing to do but focus on taking Sam's cock all the way down his throat.
Yes, he says. It's too hard to put that thought into English, to type out all the right words. Wish I could show.
Me too. God, that's so hot. The cab darts forward to take advantage of an opening in the next lane, and it's a jolt to be reminded where he is. He's completely hard now, and he wants to reach down and adjust himself, but he's afraid it would be too obvious.
You touch yourself.
Yeah, Sam says. He sends a picture from about hip level, one knee drawn up to brace his heel on the bed, his cock curving back against his stomach, his hand a blur. Gino wishes he knew what Sam looked like, because he's got Sid's build, Sid's interests, and Gino keeps picturing him as Sid. Which is... it's something he shouldn't do.
Can I come on your face?
Sam asks, and Gino bites his lip so he doesn't make a noise.
Yes,
he says.
Fuck,
Sam says. There's a long pause, and Gino thinks he should say something, but he can't think of anything hot or clever. Sam sends a picture just as the cab pulls up in front of the hotel. Gino gets a flash of bare skin before he fumbles the screen off and digs out his wallet. He shoves money at the driver, not even bothering with change. He opens the picture again in the elevator. It's Sam's body from the collarbones down to his thighs. His chest is flushed pink, and he's trailing his fingers through the cum on his stomach. It takes Gino a minute to realize Sam's wearing a necklace, an 87 resting in the hollow of his throat. Gino's stomach swoops, and it feels like the world tilts a little on its axis. He goes back to Sam's profile. He's less than 50 feet away.
Gina's heart is beating strange and fast in his chest. The elevator doors open, and Gino steps out automatically.
You owe me one now, smiley face, Sam says. Sid says.
He walks down the hall almost blindly. He finds Sid's door, knocks hard. Nothing happens. He knocks again, and finally Sid yanks the door open. Sid's cheeks are red and his hair is a mess. He's wearing those black boxers and a t-shirt that's inside out.
What? He says.
A tiny, rational corner of Gino's mind says,
okay, but what if you're wrong?
Gino doesn't listen to that part. He walks past Sid, turns at the foot of the bed to face him.
You don't take necklace off,
he blurts, holding up the phone with the last picture Sid sent. Sid's face goes from confused to utterly blank. He straightens his shoulders and back like he's bracing for a hit, and Gino's heart sinks.
I'm not, no,
he says. Sid looks from the phone to Gino, and some of the hardness goes out of his expression. He takes Gino's phone, scrolls back through the conversation. Gino feels like they're balanced on the edge of something, that it could become just one more thing they don't talk about. Or...
I owe you,
he says. He can hear Sid's sharp inhale. Sid's eyes go dark and he looks Gino up and down, lingering on the line of Gino's hard-on, pressed against his slacks. Sid starts smiling, slow but genuine.
All right, he says. Show me yours.
Gino unbuckles his belt and shoves his pants and underwear down. He reaches for his cock, but Sid says,
shirt too.
Gino makes a frustrated noise, but he unbuttons it as fast as he can. He peels it off, and then he's standing naked in front of Sid. Sid is watching him, and Gino has to sit down because his knees feel weak. He spreads his thighs wide and wraps his hand around his cock. He can't bite back a groan at how good it feels. He's leaking all over his hands as he strokes himself, fast and rough. He watches Sid watch him, and he knows he's not going to last long at all. Sid meets his eyes, and Gino comes. His eyes fall shut, the hot rush of orgasm turning his muscle to liquid. He feels more than he hears Sid come to stand in front of him. He blinks his eyes open and looks up at Sid.
I thought... It sounded like you a little, Sid says. His mouth curves, a small, wry smile.
I wanted it to be you, I guess.
Me too,
Gino says hoarsely. Sid's smile gets wider and brighter, and Gino can't help smiling back. He's still smiling when Sid cups his jaw and kisses him.
You've just finished listening to 0 Feet Away by Seven Iris. Thank you to Seven Iris for giving blanket permission to Podfic. If you'd like to leave them some feedback for the story, please find them on AO3. If you'd like to leave me some feedback for my performance, please find me on AO3 as MomoPods or MomoTastic. This podfic was edited in June 2019. And now for some reader free talk. Hey guys, this is Momo. I nearly didn't post this today. It was going on noon, and all I had was the unfinished edit of this podfic. I was missing music, and if you've listened to my previous podfics and free talks, then you know how important it is to me to find a perfect song for a story. So I was getting frustrated. I didn't have a song, I didn't intend to post this podfic today at all, because I didn't have the right song, and I wasn't gonna, put it out without the right music. And I didn't have time to record anything else last week because I was away for work. And then when I finally had some time on Friday and Saturday, I just wanted to relax and not worry about anything, to be honest. So yeah, I figured I'd post this story, this podfic instead. But when I finally got around to editing it this morning, because I knew it was a short one, so it wouldn't take that much time, I realized that, of course, I should have calculated for needing at least 5 weeks to find the right song. Probably. Yeah, so I finished editing the narration and put in all the sound effects for the text conversations on Grindr. And then I was like, well, what song do I use? And I found options, but none of them were awesome. Like, they could have fit somehow with the lyrics, but not really the tone of the song. Like, for example, I considered Come On Over Baby by Christina Aguilera, which the lyrics sort of fit. Like, the lyrics fit the best out of all the songs I considered, but the sound of it wasn't quite right. Like, it's too poppy, too something. Definitely not what I was looking for this story. So yeah, I was getting frustrated and I didn't want to use this song and I didn't want to use any of the other songs. So I figured I'd just leave it until I find the right song. And then I was about to complain about not finding the right song on Twitter. And then I thought, what if I just use sound effects instead? I have done this before. I could just do it again. But then the Grindr notification sound is pretty short. So I didn't really thought I could use it as a scene break. And also I figured since I used it in the story later on, it might get confusing if I just used the Grindr notification sound. So something else had to come along. And then I thought, okay, camera shutter sound. And I listened to a bunch of them. And the one I ended up using, I know it sort of sounds like gunshots, but I wanted one that is a bit longer so I could, you know, so that the break between the opening credits and the actual story and then the actual story and the ending credits would be a bit longer, like a couple of seconds long, not just 1 second long or 2 seconds long. I wanted it to be a little bit longer to really give it the, you know, to really have a break in there. And so I just put a couple of them one over the other, which now has the, I think, pleasant side effect of creating a bit of a rhythm, which almost makes it music. So, yeah. Anyway, let me know what you think, or if you hate it, if you think it works. To be honest, though, the only way I'm going to change it is if anyone suggests to me the perfect song for the story. Like, I will change it and put in the right song if someone finds me the right song. But other than that, this is what I'm going with. Moving on, talking about the cover, just a quick note on it, because I had already thought about what the cover should be, like, last night, which was a huge contributing factor in me even getting around to editing this podfic today. But yeah, I had this thought about the cover with, like, the map of Washington, D.C. and the little Google location symbol and then a label next to it. So yeah, I thought of that last night and I was like, all right, that's gonna make for a decent cover. I can use that somehow. And then I just added in the way messages look on Grindr for the author and reader credits to give it a bit more of the Grindr look, so that the cover remains safe for work. But if you are at all familiar with the icon for Grindr or the way, you know, chats look on Grindr, then you will recognize what this story is going to be about. And now for the story itself. I really like this story because it falls in the mistaken identity trope, with, you know, them not knowing who the other one is, but secretly thinking about each other while having anonymous Grindr sex with a stranger. I mean, that's just the good stuff, really. And after I read this fic the first couple of times, because I didn't just read it once, I read it at least 3 or 4 times before I finally recorded it, I ended up writing a longer fic in a different fandom with a very different plot. But it still has this premise of two people meeting on Grindr and then it becoming more. And yeah, that was definitely, at least in part, inspired by this story, by 0 Feet Away, because I liked it so much. Alright, I'll stop here. I hope you enjoyed this little potfic of mine. I'd love to hear what you thought. And hopefully I'll be talking to you next week. Bye!